This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Hard to know if the much heralded end of trivialities from President Trump announced last Tuesday has abruptly ended with the current allegations about Obama Trump Tower wiretaps and Twitter charges that ex-President Obama is, quote, a Nixon Watergate bad or sick guy. If President Trump is certain they are not trivial allegations, perhaps we will get some evidence that his charges are true later this week. But so far, it is North Korea's four ballistic missiles fired early Monday that appear to be the most non-trivial development as the week begins. Of the four missiles fired as the annual People's Congress begins in Pyongyang, three landed in the Sea of Japan, where a very large-scale battle simulation will soon be held. The U.S., South Korea, and other Pacific allies will simulate a battle and an occupation of North Korea in a series of exercises now just beginning to get underway. Will use of digital software weapons and malware planted into the North Korean launch and guidance systems be part of that simulation? Well, over the weekend, the New York Times outlined a secret cyber war capability meant to thwart the North's missile capabilities. One of the authors of that report is David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. David, welcome back.
Good to be with you, John.
So this is an initiative from the Obama administration, right?
Well, it started back then, but I would have to say that efforts to mess up the North Korean missile program in other ways really go back into the Bush era and maybe before that. But the more sophisticated use of cyber, electronic warfare, that's been really something that broke out in the Obama years and accelerated after the attacks that were successful, if briefly, on Iran.
And are they pretty confident that they have a good sense of what the computing capability is inside Pyongyang, or are they going missile launch by missile launch?
You know, I think it's really less a question of the computing capability than your access to it. So think about the Iran case. In that case, the target was an underground enrichment plant that wasn't going anywhere. And so you could attack it, and if what you did this week didn't work, you could come back again next week and try again, because the system was just always running. Missile launches are a much more complex problem, and they're complex because every launch is different, and you don't know the timing, and the timing has to be precise. In other words, you have to hit the launch just before, in this case, a left of launch effort, meaning before takeoff. You have to be able to know where the missile is and roughly have a pretty good sense of when it's going to get launched.
So it's as complicated as a, you know, regular, you know, anti-missile system where you're basically dealing with two ballistic objects attempting to hit each other.
It's as complicated, but you're not trying to do it in the middle of space as you are in an anti-ballistic missile system, or, you know, just as the warhead is coming down or lifting off. The way to think about this is that President Obama came to the conclusion that our traditional missile defenses, hitting the bullet with a bullet from a missile site in Alaska or California, simply wasn't working. The failure rates were running about 56% under ideal circumstances. So this attempt to go after North Korea as it is beginning to launch, left of launch, as the Pentagon calls it, is an additional layer to try to improve your chances. And sometimes it does, but as we showed in the Time story, there are other launches that have gone off flawlessly, and that suggests that the silver bullet has not been found.
You know, silver bullets aside for the moment, and I know you love this whole cyber beat that you're on half the time these days, but you know the North Korea situation as well as anyone. Do you think Pyongyang has finally found a White House that is fundamentally unpredictable and that they cannot do what they have traditionally attempted to do very successfully?
That assumes that they read this White House the way we do. And, you know, I think what the work on this story showed me is that this White House is just now getting its head around the North Korea problem. And most new presidents come in saying, I'll show them, and we're going to be very tough. And then the South Koreans step in and say, well, you realize if theoretically you hit you know, three quarters of their launch sites one morning to teach them a lesson, that leaves a quarter of them, which is plenty to destroy Seoul. So please slow down on this a little bit. And I suspect that this administration is just now, except for people like General McMaster or General Mattis, who've been around the block before, coming to the conclusion that their options really are a little more limited than they seem when they're on the campaign trail.
David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Is it settling down to find continuity or now a completely new opportunity as President Trump and his team begin to respond to today's North Korean missile launches and look for the best strategy for North Korea? Joel Witt is a senior fellow at the U.S.-Korea Institute at Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. Joel Witt, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
How much do you think these missile launches are related to the People's Congress in Pyongyang and are just meant as a nationalist exercise? Or do they actually signal something that's coming in a few months in the form of the giant exercises that will be taken by the U.S. and its allies in the Pacific?
Well, the exercises are about to get underway, or some of them have already started, so it's not in a few months. And, you know, I think it was very predictable what the North Koreans would be doing around this time frame, and namely that they were watching and waiting to see what the Trump administration's policies would be and whether it would move ahead with large-scale threatening exercises. And it seems like the administration is moving ahead, and as a result of that, the North Koreans, I believe, will start ratcheting up the tension, and these missile tests may be the first step in that direction. You know, I think it was very predictable what the North Koreans would be doing around this time frame, and namely that they were watching and waiting to see what the Trump administration's policies would be and whether it would move ahead with large-scale threatening exercises. And it seems like the administration is moving ahead, and as a result of that, the North Koreans, I believe, will start ratcheting up the tension, and these missile tests may be the first step in that direction.
And do you believe the only counter action that the Trump administration should take is a form of diplomacy as opposed to trying to develop some anti-missile capability, given that it is quite a distance from Pyongyang to the United States?
Well, look, this isn't an either-or question. It's not a question of diplomacy or taking steps to protect ourselves. We should be doing both, and we need to fashion all of our available tools into a strategy to deal with North Korea. So part of that strategy is, of course, diplomacy, trying to see if we can delay or even stop the North Korean programs. But part of that strategy is also other steps, as I said, to protect ourselves, like missile defense, like maybe additional troop deployments to Asia, maybe even considering redeploying tactical nuclear weapons to the Korean Peninsula. And that's not just to defend ourselves, it's to defend our allies. Don't forget, South Korea and Japan have been treaty allies for decades and are major trading partners of the United States. So we have real security interests in the region, and we need to fashion a strategy to deal with this growing threat.
When you were with the Clinton administration, what was almost achieved there? The Clinton legacy, or at least in the way that he likes to tell it, is that there was a near breakthrough on North Korea, but it just sort of ran out of time. Is that your view?
Well, this is one of the myths that's a problem in fashioning a strategy. The myth is that you can't really conduct diplomacy with the North Koreans. It'll never work. And so why even bother? But the fact is, in the Clinton administration, we reached an agreement in 1994 that basically aborted a North Korean nuclear program that may have produced as many as 100 nuclear weapons by the year 2000. And so that, in my mind, was a big success. So I'm not saying today is the same as 1994, but at least let's try to redeploy the tool of diplomacy and see if we can make some progress.
In looking back on the Cold War, Cuba's threat to the United States has been, you know, savagely overrated. And I think there's an argument that North Korea might be similar to this. Their capacity to destabilize the entire world is fanciful.
Well, yeah, you know, there's always a fine balance between exaggerating the threat and underestimating the threat. But we also have to avoid underestimating the danger. And this has been a serious problem for the past 8 years, because if we were having this conversation 8 years ago, people would have been saying basically, North Korea, small country, they really can't manage to build nuclear weapons or the missiles to deliver them. And now if we fast forward to 8 years later and 5 more nuclear tests and a lot more missile tests, it's clear the problem is getting worse and worse and worse.
Joel Witt is senior fellow at the U.S. Korea Institute at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. Joel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.